Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of 7 Under Golf Podcast, hosted by Megs and Mitch. Today we're sitting here with Ivo Ferreira, Lee, at Quinto de Laga, Laurangel, and I must say I'm absolutely blown away by how spectacular the courses are here, the whole area. Really, I wasn't expecting this coming into the area. Ivo Ferreira, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It's really a pleasure to be with you guys here. Cool. Thanks for inviting me.
Honored to have you on the show. So, I mean, I think let's start off maybe by do you want to introduce yourself as what you're doing here at the course, how long you've been working here?
All right. Well, so golf for a Portuguese guy, it's always something that's way in the horizon. So if you ask me 10 years or 7 years ago, would I ever see myself with a golf bag and hitting balls or just speaking about golf, I said, come on, you're nuts. Never in my life I'm going to do that. But yeah, well, I was born and raised in Lisbon. I was always very close to music, so that's always been my biggest thing. And I just started the studies there in graphic design, so studied there for a year, and just moved into the Algarve after a year and just completed the studies here. And after the degree, I worked for a little while in graphic design. I still work, but then one friend spoke with me about, listen, there's a vacancy in the golf course. So, what do you think? You want to take it? I'm like, well, all right, let's go for it. That's not my type of cup of tea, but yeah, surely. And after 7 years, I started there on the golf course in Laranjal as a starter and a marshal. And after a while, they had a proposition in the table just to go for reception. That's what I'm doing now. Just mostly welcoming the clients, get everything prepared, get the check-ins done, all the booking and the reservations done, pick up the phones, answering emails. That's that type of
thing. Wonderful. And I mean, the first thing also I noticed as soon as we saw you on the range, it looked like you had a general, like an easy swing, and then you mentioned you've only been playing golf for 2 years, and I thought, geez, I don't really believe that. I don't know if it was true or not, because it just really looked like you knew what you were doing.
Thanks,
there.
Man.
How did golf come upon you?
Well, mostly it was because of a lot of free time. Because one of the perks working on a golf course is that you have a schedule where you start really early and you finish really early. And since I didn't have the chance to go home and just work on my music, because my partner, she's working always remotely, and I always had like, well, you're doing a lot of noises with your guitars loud. So all right, might as well just pick up golf. And I'll just started from there, and basically just started to watch some golf competitions, and just trying. You get that first start of trying to mimic the pros. That doesn't work. You go from one video to another video to another video to another video, and then it's just, well, just egg it. Just whack the ball up, do your own thing, and that's it. There's no rights or wrong.
No, definitely no rights or wrong in golf.
Yeah.
And when you started, you mentioned, so you were the course marshal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How did you, what sort of experiences did you have as a course marshal, and then your journey working up to the position you're currently in today?
Well, as you can imagine, for a guy that doesn't know a thing about golf, and just comes from graphic design to being a golf marshal, it's a totally different planet. Let me just break here the interview, because this was a former colleague of mine, okay?
Looking for premium golf equipment and accessories? This podcast is proudly sponsored by 4 Golf, South Africa's newest premium golf brand. Head over to the Instagram or Facebook page at www.4golf.co.za to find out more. Let's not waste any time, dive right in. They've made it easier than ever. Be sure to use the 7 Under Golf Podcast promo code to get your 10% discount on your first orders. Links will be in the description below. You mentioned mentioned that you started as a course marshal here. What has the journey and the experiences been from going course marshal to the current position you're in today?
Yeah, it's been a crazy ride, man. Roller coaster, as I can say. From you can imagine a guy that's he's saying it's music and graphic design, and all of a sudden you have to be dealing with concepts, getting people on time, playing the course. You have 4.5 hours. You have people with big egos on the course. All of a sudden, everything was really, really new, as it is when you got into something new and you don't know. You go into oblivion, totally on the blank page. But it was all right. At the first, it was difficult because you have to get your English going, because mostly the market and the clients that we work here are UK or Ireland market. So that was one of the things. And then basically just comprehend the logistics and the physics that goes behind, like what it is pace in golf, what it is flow of the game in golf. All right, I should approach this person, she's behind time, and there's like 70 behind them waiting. I need to approach her in a very polite way, because whenever you speak with someone on the golf course that's paying a lot of money, you need to have your sensitivity just there on the top. You know, you need to go go straight at it, but you need to calm your horses and saying, well, listen, this is what's going on. There's people behind you waiting, and well, just pick up with the group in front, basically. But yeah, it was concepts that I would say for the first month dealing with it was a little bit difficult. But after that, yeah,
okay, it was all right. I would imagine with you starting as a course marshal, you didn't know too much about golf. Now you're playing golf.
Nothing,
only
man.
For 2 years, I still don't believe
nothing.
That. But, I would imagine that would have really helped you with your knowledge of the game, and when you go out there, you obviously know exactly how the marshals feel when you're going a little bit slower.
Yeah.
But something I wanted to actually ask, and you already answered that, the main clientele here, what sort of people are you dealing with at these courses? I know Algarve's it's seen as a very foreign area, a lot of tourists coming in. What would you say is at this specific golf course, Who's the main clientele? Is it the locals in the area or more the foreigners coming in?
Well, the locals, as we were speaking earlier, Portugal, the concept of golf, it's very foreigner, how do you say? It's something that tourists and old people and retired people and very wealthy people do. So here in Portugal, the concept of golf, it's still a little bit to get, still needs a little bit of work in it to get more people into the sport. But you have to list the clients through seasons. So right now we're on October, it's peak of high season, and during this time we deal with a lot of business companies and golf that's regarding to business, basically. So you have like high standards business, and then you have like you can have like a bunch of group of 20 of lorry drivers just coming in, construction guys. It all depends. It's big groups, you know. Whenever there's a day that we open the sheet in a the starting time, in a very busy day, and a busy day, for instance, in Laranjal, you get like 220 people in, right, for 18 holes, maybe like 200 for 18 and plus 20 for 9. And you have like blocks of groups just on the starting sheet, and you can see it's just basically just groups. Where, for instance, on mid and low season, it's more, basically, it's more families. You know, couples, people that have maybe the parent who's playing golf, but the mother it's not, but it's taking the child, and they're watching the dad playing golf. Yeah, it's all very a mixture, and that's the beauty of I think is you get to know a lot of people. Different cultures and a totally different area, so it's a really a big thing.
Absolutely, and speaking of meeting a lot of people, I would imagine working at a club like this club, you've met some really cool people. Is there any specific story that you're going to keep with you for a very long time.
Yeah, so Quinta do Lago has a big connection with Adidas and TaylorMade. In fact, we're sponsored by TaylorMade, so our uniforms and everything like that, and the clubs that we sell, it's TaylorMade and Adidas. So obviously we had some big names here. For instance, Lanajal, when it opened in 2009, the following year we had Tiger there. So the course closed for a whole day just for him. A couple of years ago, we had Rory McIlroy when he was ranked number one back in 2014 or 15, more or less. Yeah. So and other than that, I already had Shane Lowry doing the check-in, big football players. You just name it. Listen, Quinta do Lago is a big brand, and it's on itself. It's full strength, you know. And if you put a region like the Algarve, so rich and so with so much choosing in the business of golf, you get a really good mixture for people just like that. That type of market just comes in. I can say that, like, one of the funny stories that I had back in the beginning was when I was we don't do the caddy, we don't offer caddy work, but whenever a client requires for a caddy, we try to work it out. So back in the days when I was when I started, there was none of the stuff available. So I and this was on one of my days off, but I wanted to show to my chief that I was committed. So like, well, I don't know nothing about golf or being a caddy. That's just what they do on TV, to clean the clubs, to stay behind them on the greens. So this guy comes along. So you have a caddy? You have a caddy before? And I was like, yeah, sure. You never show your weak side. Absolutely. And I was just throughout the round. He was just asking me for lines, and what I understood for lines is when obviously you played, you know this, when you're on the tee and you see the mo lines. So I just said, well, listen, just follow the lines there on the fairway, and you're right to go. Yeah. And the guy was asking me, all right, so distance to the flag. And I knew that, for instance, in our scorecards and in our sheets, we only have the distance to the center of the green. And the guy was asking the distance for the flag, and I was always giving him distance to the center of the green. But it turned out right. Well, old Jack Nicklaus, he said, if you want to do good putts, you always aim for the center of the green. And I only knew that now because I became the golf maniac that I am. It turned out I didn't know nothing about this person. He gave me a really generous tip in the end of the round. I did everything. I just mimic what they do on TV, man. It's like they clean the clubs, they stand behind, oh, go right, go left, into the hole. As the guy was like, well, that's where I want the ball going, go into the hole. But he was very generous in the end of the round, and he was happy. And a couple of weeks after, I just got to know that he was his uncle with one of the big stars that plays on the PGA Tour. Yeah, I'm not gonna mention the name, but he's a big guy.
That's
wonderful. So yeah, you get to have those experiences. You never know who you're loading your golf club into the buggy, who the person behind it. So often it's someone just behind Coca-Cola, or someone behind Sony, as we had, or a famous magician, stuff like that. It's crazy good, man. It's crazy good.
That's absolutely incredible.
I love the networking, you know. I'm a very talkative person, and when it comes to golf, if someone just mentions something about golf, it just sparks the flame, you know.
Definitely. Yeah. I honestly, I don't know what I would have done if I got myself a caddy and I said, sort of, what are the lines here? And you have to just say, just follow the lines on the thing. Well, I don't know what I would do. But no, it really sounds like you're really enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah.
You take a lot of, I would say, passion to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally.
And I would imagine that's where sort of the passion to your golf game has come
from. Yeah, completely.
But something I wanted to ask you was, obviously there's not just one golf course here. There's three from what I understand.
Yeah, behind the umbrella, the logo, Quinta do Lago, there's three. There's Laranjal, that's the one that I work, that's actually sitting outside of the resort. So we were needing, back in 2009, we were needing another option for our clients that was not very regarding towards Golf Resort as it is the north and south. So we wanted an option for a more picturesque, picture-perfect kind of golf course. And that's why Lanajal was built. It's a protected area of Ludo. Ludo, it's an area that surrounds your Ria Formosa. It's an area that's just behind, sitting behind the coastline beach here in the Algarve. And it's very rich regarding wildlife. So the course had all the ingredients to become a success. So you have Lanajal, and then you have the north course, and you have the south course. So the first one built here in the resort Quinta do Lago was south course back in the 70s, I reckon.
Yeah, there's a lot of history to it.
But in the resort Quinta do Lago, there's other two golf courses. One, it's close by the Ria, called San Lorenzo. Which is not the under the umbrella Quinta do Lago, but it's in the resort Quinta do Lago.
Okay.
And the other one, it's called Pinheiros Altos, when you have 27 holes.
Okay, that San Lorenzo, actually, when we were flying in.
The layout, it's spectacular.
It looks spectacular.
It's a great course.
Obviously, we've arranged we're going to play Lanajal on Friday.
Yeah.
Is there what would you recommend to anyone coming to the club? Is like the specific challenges that the course has to offer? Is there anything to avoid?
Mm. Well, it's a guy that books around golf here with us. We can combine the three courses in, and the guy that plays first north south. And I've been a starter. I know what people say on the tee, and I know what people say in reception. As soon as he goes in and he plays around in Lanajal, He totally forgets the other two rounds that he played here, north and south. I'm not saying that the course, it's like, it's way up there regarding north and south, but it's totally completely different experience. It's a little bit more forgiving. The rough is not that high where it is in here in south and north. It's wide, it's vast. From one tee box, you can see the surroundings in all the holes. Where here you play hole by hole, and you probably have like stunning houses and villas to look at it. Where there you have like birds and the views,
nature.
But I would say what takes a toll on the players there are the greens and the big par threes there. It's the par threes there. It's not where you play like an 8-iron or 9-iron in or a pitching wedge. You have like par threes when you have like 205 into the center of the green. So it's monstrous.
That's something
it's
I
very
need
challenging.
To keep in mind for
Friday. You should.
Really get a good iron ready for those shots.
Don't forget, always aim to the center of the green.
Just follow the lines on the fairway.
And you're done.
You should be good to go. No, wonderful. And out of the three courses, so would that be your favorite golf course to play?
Well, obviously, I'm a suspect because I work there and I do play the course a lot. I always have the clubs in the car and I always go for nine holes after work. But if I had to categorize the courses, I would put Lanajal top one, and then south, and then north, because of the experience that you get towards the golf, and for a player that comes here to the resort and just comes here just for the golf. South has a really good challenging holes, get a lot of the dogleg lefts or the dogleg lives, hidden greens, but Lanajal would say would be the top one.
The top one, yeah, awesome. Yeah. And you mentioned, I've gone a little bit blank at the moment, so what you're saying, it really seems nice to actually work in the golf industry here in Portugal. We spoke with one of the golf managers at a golf course back in South Africa.
Yeah.
And something we were quite curious to know was, how often do you get to play golf working at a golf course? And from his perspective, he said not really often. It was 2-3 times a month if he's lucky. Hmm. From what you saying and what I'm understanding is, it seems like you get to play quite a bit of golf. Every day, just about after work, you're on the driving range. Seems like you're having a lot of fun with the golf.
Well, I have a lot of free time. If I finish work at 3 o'clock, if I don't have nothing to do around the house, or I can go because my partner, she's working there remotely, and in our office, well, I might as well just stay on the golf course. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my golf director often says to me whenever I ask him to play golf, he says to me, well, you need to start paying a membership, otherwise you're paying more than the members that pay membership there. So yeah, no, man, I just take the advantage of it. It's, if you work in a place like that, you need to have the take the advantage and the perks of working there. It's like, I obviously for me it's just absurd. If you work there, why didn't you enjoy it? Well, if you got bit by the little bug called golf,
yeah,
right?
I think we all know that.
Yeah. You know. So yeah, it's whenever I have the chance, I always go for 9 holes, and then on my days off, I always try to get a round of 18 holes here.
And do you alternate between the three courses here, other courses in the Algarve?
Yeah.
Or do you try to stick to one?
Actually, regarding courtesies, there's one thing to follow is that in high season, it's really hard to get courtesies around the 40 courses that you have in the Algarve. So whenever we want to, play with the staff, me and take the other guys from here, from the north and the south, Orlan and Jal, to play other courses, we always tend to go on host season and ask the other courses for courtesy. And it's an exchange. For instance, our golf director gives us a treat on the end of the round. We have just a golf party amongst the staff, and we go to play Monterrey. I don't know if you know Monterrey. It's been qualified one of the top ones here in the Algarve as well.
Yeah.
It's towards Tavira. And we do an exchange of their stuff, and they come to play Lanajal. So it works that way. So we get to know their course, the way that they work, what type of layouts they have on the course, and they do the same with us. It's not more like, it's not, and it's healthy. You're not competing, you know. It's like golf itself here in the Algarve. It survives, you know. You don't have to get the clients in and can come and play our courses. No, it's like, they want to play your course. They want to take the picture in Lanajal. They want to take the picture in North and South course. They want to get the Quinta do Lago logo in. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And something when we were at the Lanajal clubhouse, I noticed there was a group of four gents, and they were adding up their scores, and they started saying, "Okay, you won day one, you won day two." So I would imagine a lot of people coming here with 40 golf courses, you mentioned.
Yeah.
They kind of just bouncing between the whole golf.
Totally.
All the courses, they setting up like little boys tours, and they really just travel around, which I think is phenomenal. And then what I really like is how you say. The golf courses, you're not really competing against each other, but it's more you guys are all kind of working together.
Yeah.
And I would say it's almost for the bigger picture to try to bring more people to the game.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I don't want to have a naive vision towards it. Obviously, you have numbers to present, and you always have goals in the end of the year to present to our CEOs. But obviously, if we can maintain like a healthy relationship, and you're not becoming enemies, but you're becoming friends. We all have to learn with each other on the business. At least that's what I think it should be. Yeah, and the golf operators, they just plan all the 40 courses that you have in the Algarve amongst each other. So, for instance, you can get a package when you have like combined Lanajal, and then you go play Penina, and probably you play Vilassol. That's one close to Vilamoura, and then you have the Vilamoura courses in. Well, the variety is—it's so wide, man. It's you can get a really like a menu, a really diverse menu to play in. So it's good. It's good.
Yeah, and I think like, sorry. So it is now Migs on the mic. We've just switched. I've been listening to a very interesting conversation, and I think what I wanted to ask is, obviously, we've connected through Random Golf Club.
Yeah.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, it's really just a community where the game is trying to grow, and we're trying to get everybody involved from all different backgrounds, all types of people, this, that, and the next thing. And we're on the reins just now, as Mitch mentioned, and we sort of went into a bit of a conversation about Portugal and what is golf viewed like here and whatever. And obviously, it's what I'd love to see. I've been in Portugal for 6-7 weeks now, and I've started to notice the sort of prestige around golf. And a question I had for you is, you know, do you think that golf is changing in Portugal? Do you think it's a game that's growing? Do you think it's a game that will sooner than later invite your everyday person, your average Joe, as we could say.
Yeah.
And you had quite an interesting answer. So do you believe that, you know, in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, we're going to be seeing, you've already got 40 golf courses here in Algarve. I mean, if the game grows more, do you think they're going to develop more? Or do you think it will be taken into different parts of Portugal? We also spoke Lisbon. You've got quite a variety, but not as much as you have here.
Yeah.
So do you think it's growing?
Well, I think there's a long path to pave,
yeah,
and to walk in, especially for instance, you have to divide Portugal in three layers. So you have north, center, and then you have the south, because there's not too much golf courses south of Lisbon in Alentejo. There's a couple of you just coming now,
yeah,
but still it's going to be golf, pointed golf.
Sure.
So what I mean is, you have a lot of variety and all of where to choose here to play golf, but when the first golf course that was open here in Portugal was open in Porto, so and came all the way down to the south, but since the south has such a strong connection with the UK market and with the British market and with all the resorts, and it's because of the weather, obviously.
Of course.
So if you put the little rectangle that Algarve is in, I think it's still, honestly, if you ask me, and I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing. Here in the Algarve, we still have a long way to go.
Wow.
Yeah. Towards, in a sense that you need to face golf in a different direction other than business and a 100%. Golf resort type.
Yeah.
I never played any other courses other than the courses here in the Algarve, although I'm born and raised in Lisbon, but I never had a chance to play in Lisbon or Porto. But I'm a guy that follows, and the sense that I have that around the Lisbon area and the north of Portugal is that golf has begun to go more towards that direction, you know?
Yeah.
For instance, if you ask me, one of if I have any dreams regarding golf, or if I have any if I had any wishes, listen, one of my biggest wishes was to have like a municipal golf course here in Faro.
Sure.
You know, just for 9 holes, or just an open diving range, just to get people in, you know.
100%.
We have a municipal park there in Faro, and one time had a mini golf, cement mini golf. But obviously people didn't understand what was that, and it would got torn down, and they built another stuff there.
Yeah.
But if we turn the vision that golf it's for retired person, for people that have a lot of money,
yeah,
for people that don't do nothing with their time, and they want to fill it up with golf. If we can change those concepts, I think we're walking in a good way. But still, there's a really long way to go. I can give you an example. In amongst my friends, and I've mocked with several of them.
Yeah.
They say, what the heck? What do you see in golf? It's like it's old man's sport. And it's like, well, you need to come and play, man. Come and play with me one day.
Just pick up a club.
And I have several experience with that. You know, like friends that skate or surf, and come on, yeah, I'll go with you one day with the riding range.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're like, do you have extra clubs with me just for them to go and get a round or something? And it's just people don't know more, you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
and we need to educate them. It's just
100%.
Yeah.
I think it starts with exactly that. The more people are educated, the more open, and I think like an open driving range would probably be a good start.
Totally.
It's not this huge expectation that you're going out to play 18 holes now and whatever, but you can just go, you can hit a bucket with some friends, you can be dressed casual and all that.
Yeah, obviously, because, I don't know, all the stuff that I read and I see, I have a really romantic vision towards the golf. Because
sure,
you see all the stuff that Eric talks about in Random Golf Club,
yeah,
and even if you don't have to go that far to America, but even on the UK market, you have municipal golf course where you pay like £20 or £40 and you go for a round with your friends.
Yeah.
And there's just some concepts that you need to tear down in all the golf that represents, and that is like the old man concept, the wealth man concept, the dress code concept,
which
is a big thing.
It's a big thing,
especially for youth layers, where they don't understand, why the heck do I have to wear a polo shirt? Why can't I just
shirts,
all the shirts tuck in, and it's like. I often play with members there in Lanangel, and whenever I have the shirt off, he's like, "Oh, get your shirt tucked in." And it's like, "The heck, man! This is not politics. Let me be." And
just out here taking a walk with a bag of sticks and a ball and trying our best to get a good score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of my big dreams is, and I don't think it'll be happening here anytime soon, but I hope it does, is to just be able to play golf in a t-shirt.
Like, yeah.
That's something I'd love to do. A t-shirt, casual pants.
Yeah.
And you just go out there and play. Have a great time.
See, that's the long way that we need to pave and we need to work in golf here.
But I think it starts with the younger generation. Not, I think it starts with people like you with an open mindset and someone who can see past your typical vision or your typical stereotypes that have been put into the game. But then back to you playing golf. You said your favorite club in the bag is a 9-iron.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's because one of my favorite spots to be, it's 110 in.
Yeah.
So with a 9-iron, you can work everything out with a 9-iron.
100%.
You can get the approach shots in. You can get like the little bump and run, and if you get a full shot with a 9-iron straight to the heart of the green, it's like, it's so satisfying, man. Yeah.
I was actually having a conversation with a guy the other day, and he's like, it actually doesn't matter. Like in modern day golf, golf is one from 110 yards.
Right.
In.
Yeah. Totally.
Like if you can be really good.
If
from
you
there,
can master that.
You can win big tournaments.
Yeah.
And we
completely.
Look at guys that are on the tour at the moment. Like, you've got your big hitters. You've got Bryson. You've got Brooks Koepka and all of that. But the guys who are winning and have had quite a lot of wins in the season are the guys who are really dialed in from 110
completely.
Yards in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Difference. So it's pretty interesting to hear you say that. And it sounds like you've got all the different shots in the bag. You've got the bump and roll.
Not
the one you can just throw up. So
listen, I like to say that. Well, since golf, it's a precision sport, and you have like 13 weapons to do it.
13 weapons, 18.
Yeah, completely. You need to be a Swiss knife, you know. You need to have all the shots in. You need to have like that. You need to be a MacGyver, basically, because with amateur golf like us, we're always in trouble. So always we need to get creative, and that's it.
and that's definitely like the fun part of the game. Like, I love it when, you know, sometimes you hit a drive and it comes off a little bit too, it slices too much and it's in the woods, but now you're not on the fairway, you're in the rough, but now you've got an opportunity to try and play one of those legendary tiger shots something inside you feels really cool and it's something I love about the game.
Yeah,
it's,
totally.
It's an endless game of opportunities and who knows? I mean, you could hold it out from there. You could hold it out from.
Actually, I've been educated myself not to take the hero shot, because whenever I do that, I always end up with a triple or a double. So I stand on the tee. I would say to myself, double bogey. It's all right, man.
Yeah.
Just walk off with a bogey.
Yeah.
And whenever I do par or birdie, I'm like in heaven. You know, it's like
it's great. Yeah. Do a question we always actually like to ask our guests. Do you remember your first birdie?
I remember my first birdie.
Wow.
And actually, I remember my first hole in one.
Oh, you forgot a hole in one?
Yeah,
well?
I actually had
only one.
Only one in Lanangel.
And
it was actually funny. We were playing once in Lanangel after work with one of the pros that's just not on Lanangel now. And we were playing just sneaky nine after work.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, "Oh, let's play from the members tee. No one's watching. Let's play from the members tee." And there's a big par three signature hole, and if you play from the members tee, the shot it's completely different, because it's type of a dog leg right.
Yeah.
But if you play from the members tee, it has a lake, and you have the lake in play. So you need to go over the lake.
Wow.
Where you play from the normal tees, you go around it. So I play. It was like 174 in meters, and the flag was just sitting in the front of the green. I just hit a really like good connection.
Yeah,
I was happy. I just picked the tee. The ball was still in the air, and just landed. And Richie just goes, "What the heck, man? Where's your ball?" And he's like, "Ah, it's probably on the green." "No, it's in. Shut up. Yeah, it was just a little bump and run and fringe and just got in and just got the holding one.
Wow, that's something that will live with you forever, man.
Yeah, jeez. Totally, yeah.
I've played thousands of rounds and I'm yet to have a
holding one.
I just pray it comes one
day. Yeah, completely. It's totally like, it's pure, how do you say it? when the planets align, you get the only one. It comes. It's like
magic. Yeah, it's a little
magic.
Bit of magic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I remember my you asked about a birdie. And I told you about the only one. Yeah, it was on the old 9th, which is now the 18th, in Laranjal. If we play it on Friday, you're going to see. It's a very challenging, risk-rewarding hole. Because it's a par 5, and then it has two lakes in it. So it's a dog leg left. And from the tee, you have a lake sitting on the left-hand side. And on the second shot, you have a lake guarding the green and on your right-hand side. So I hit a good driver. And then I just laid up. Flag was sitting in the front. I just got a 6-iron in. Got the ball through there and just bumped
just
it
a
in.
Tapping,
yeah,
birdie.
Yeah, tap in. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
and I
really
was like,
nice.
All right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. if I simple things up, let's say if I have 200 in, okay, I'll divide the shot in 200. I get like two shots of 100. It's easy. I don't ever go to the Euro shot.
Yeah.
It got me in trouble before. And
it's interesting you say that, because I think the more simpler you approach the game, the luckier you actually get. And it's something that I'm still learning, because I like to try and hit it big, I like to try and be fancy, but I do know that when I'm just simple and I break it down into what it needs to be, the results are always there.
There's a big thing that weighs as much as your golf bag, that's your ego.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no,
that's there's little voice, there's the little voice inside your head saying, go for it, you can do it, go for it.
Yeah, and then you end up shanking it to the left or right, and you've still got a couple hundred meters to the hole or whatever.
But hey, whoever listens will probably understand the stories, and but that's the whole beauty of the game, man. It's like ups and downs. If the ball it's sitting on the rough lie, but you have to play as it lies. You can do a comparison with that in your life.
Yeah.
Whenever you are in your life, goods and ups, you need to just go push forward, and that's it.
100%.
You need to have to hit it where it lies. So.
Yeah, and like a lot of people we've actually had on the show, I think one of our most recent guests described golf is exactly that. It's a game of life where you've got your ups and downs, and you've got to manage your ego, you've got to manage your mentality and all of that, and it's addictive, man.
It's super addictive when you're out there because
every day is a different day.
Completely.
It's something I love about the game.
Yeah.
I think I got one more question before we wrap it up.
Right.
And it's something we always ask our guests. So if you were to shoot 7 under, all right, where would you want to be playing? Any golf course in the world, and who would you want to have in your four ball with you? Can be anybody.
Wow, that is a big question, man. that is a big question. I've been loving a really good golf course, and I've been invited with the past members to play there.
Yeah,
I'd probably love to play 7 under on Royal Portrush.
Okay.
Yeah, and just have my partner with me.
Sure.
Just saying, listen, you see this big smile? That's the beauty of this sport.
Yeah.
Now you understand it.
That's it.
That's the only person that I need to convince in this time, because she's like, oh, come on.
you need to drag her with you to the range. Yeah. You need to say, just come and hit a bucket and try and approach it in a different way or whatever.
Yeah. If I had Rory or Tiger playing behind me, I would be happy.
There we go. It's also one of the most common answers. Like, everyone wants Tiger in their four ball.
Yeah.
All right. No, man, awesome. Well, honestly, just thank you so much for the hospitality
Absolutely.
Given us thus far. It's,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
been really nice. It's a totally different experience in the golf world we've had in Portugal. So really, really hats off to you. Thank you so much.
No problem, man.
You're a really interesting guy. We could go on for days and we could get into music, this, that, and the next thing. But I think, just thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for reaching out, man. I was really humbled for you guys to invite me. When I commented I was doing a podcast on golf, everybody was like, what?
I can't imagine. But it's another thing you take back to your friends and you say, you know, golf is casual, so just come and play with us. Man,
absolutely.
Just come through.
But
yeah, man, thanks for your time. I'm looking seriously forward to our round on Friday.
That's it.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm holding thumbs for a hole in one on the signature
Grand.
hole. My ego might be a bit high right now, but you know what it is. It's golf. So,
Grand.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ivo, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. All the best for you guys.
Are you looking to update your golf bag? Well, look no further. This podcast is proudly sponsored by The Golf Shop South Africa, your one-stop shop to buy, sell, and trade golf equipment ranging from clubs, shafts, to golf carts. Be sure to head over to thegolfshop.southafrica on Instagram to update your bag today.